Hey, all. Welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Christensen. Thank you so much for listening today. Go check out reallifepharmacology.com. Get your free 31-page PDF on the top 200 drugs. Simply an email to subscribe to our mailing list. We'll get you access to that. So great resource, great refresher if you're taking board exams, going through pharmacology courses, or just looking for that little clinical refresher. So again, reallifepharmacology.com, sign up for the free top 200 study guide. All right, the drug of the day today is tirzepatide. Brand name of this medication is Mounjaro. I have heard it pronounced a few different ways, but I believe that is the correct pronunciation. This is a newer diabetes agent, so more specifically used for type 2 diabetes. Its classification is glucose-dependent insulinotropic polypeptide, that is commonly abbreviated as GIP, G-I-P, and it is a combination with a glucagon-like peptide receptor agonist, so that is GLP-1. So I've talked about GLP-1s extensively in previous podcasts, semaglutide, liraglutide. I believe I've covered those for sure, so you can go back and get a little bit more depth with that. There are quite a few similarities, and as far as the adverse effect profile, which I'll discuss coming up here, it is very, very similar to the GLP-1s as far as adverse effect profile. So mechanistically, what do these two things do? So ultimately, you're going to end up with increased glucose-dependent insulin release. So thinking about when we eat a meal, insulin release tends to go up, and a drug like tirzepatide is going to help with that. Also reduces inappropriate glucagon secretion. And it also slows the GI tract. Many patients will report feeling more full from a subjective standpoint with a medication like this. And as you can imagine, patients feeling more full, they're potentially going to eat less. And that's where the indication of potential for weight loss is going to come into play. Now, we do not have a formal FDA approval as of yet, as of me creating this podcast, but there was a recent study done, tirzepatide once weekly for the treatment of obesity trial. If you haven't looked at it, that'll be a good one for you to certainly check out, and I believe that is one of the major ones the FDA is reviewing right now to see if it deserves a weight loss or obesity management indication. So I suspect that it will get approved for that. At least that's the primary buzz that I have heard. But again, I don't have that final information at the time of making this podcast. So stay tuned to the news for that one. All right, let's talk dosing a little bit. So it's once weekly, sub-Q injection. Some of the other GLP-1 agonists or kind of similar to this medication, the GLP-1 agonist, not perfectly similar. Again, that mechanism is slightly different. 2.5 milligrams is the usual starting dose, and we can titrate every 4 weeks up by 2.5 milligrams up to a max of 15 milligrams. Now, interestingly, in the study for weight loss, which again is being reviewed, they used similar dosing to diabetes. So again, 2.5 up to 15 milligrams. Their primary target doses in that weight loss study, weight management study, was 5 milligrams, 10 milligrams, and 15 milligrams, respectively. All right, other information about this. So the FDA, again, I mentioned they have not approved it for weight management. However, the American Diabetes Association in 2023 has had tirzepatide make an appearance in the guidelines. So if you go look this up, and our friends pyrls.com, P-Y-R-L-S.com, they have a free downloadable PDF on the treatment algorithm. Simply signing up for a free account will get you access to that. So that's on the ADA 2023 guidelines. And tirzepatide is making an appearance under patients where we're targeting weight loss. Okay? So it is classified as having very high efficacy for weight loss. So it's tirzepatide and semaglutide really have the most robust evidence for significant weight loss. So if we're trying to do both, manage diabetes and promote weight loss, tirzepatide and semaglutide have the best evidence. And again, go get that free chart, pearls.com/RLP. And signing up for an account there, a free account, will get you access to that. Great resource just to kind of review what the updates are and what the appropriate medications are according to the American Diabetes Association. So again, Pearls, PYRLS.com/RLP, and I'll put it in the show notes there too. Let's talk about missed dosing that can come up in clinical practice. So again, we're going to give this once weekly. So let's say Sunday is the usual daily dose, or excuse me, the usual weekly dose. And if we miss that dose, and if we're within 4 days of that time that we give that usual dose, you can have patients go ahead and take it and resume their usual Sunday schedule. If it's more than 4 days, we're going to just tend to wait for the next scheduled day. So basically, they'll skip a week if it's been more than 4 days. And half-life of this drug's approximately 5 days. So if you've got a patient that, for whatever reason, cost or couldn't get access to it or whatever the case may be, where we had to interrupt therapy for, you know, a few weeks, it's probably a situation where I'm going to recommend restarting at the initial starting dose so we don't end up with a situation where we're maybe more likely to get adverse effects. So with that, let's talk about the adverse effects. So primary thing I'm always looking out for with GLP-1 agonists, and now this drug, tirzepatide, it's going to be GI upset. Nausea, diarrhea, reduced appetite, which can be a good thing, as we talked about with potential weight loss. Vomiting, those are all going to be fall within the category of the most common adverse effects. There is other more rare adverse effects. So there is a boxed warning on increased risk for thyroid tumors, and that's true of GLP-1s, which I've discussed prior as well. Acute kidney injury has been reported. This may be due to dehydration risk. And if you think about it, if a patient is experiencing maybe some adverse effects, stomach upset, maybe they aren't drinking as much as they should be, maybe they do have some vomiting or diarrhea, that risk for acute kidney injury is a little bit higher. Now, in my practice, geriatric patients may be a little more at risk for this. They tend to run a little bit more dehydrated the way it is and aren't able to maybe bounce back from that as quickly. So I'm definitely going to watch this a little bit closer in a geriatric patient or any patient at risk for acute kidney injury. Other rare things that have been reported, hypersensitivity reactions, pancreatitis, those are the primary things that I'm going to look out for there. Now, monitoring parameters, pretty straightforward. If we're using for diabetes, A1C, in the studies, tirzepatide has reduced A1Cs in the ballpark of 2 points. So that's bringing a patient down from a 9 to a 7. So it's very, very robust benefit in the diabetes studies for sure. Of course, some of the things that, you know, patients are asking, you know, what are the long-term adverse effects, things of that nature. And of course, being a newer medication, we don't have great evidence in patients who've been on this medication for, you know, 2 years, 4 years, 6 years plus. We don't have any evidence of what those long-term adverse effects are. So that is always kind of a risk versus benefit type of thing, where maybe some of the older GLP-1s, we've got a little bit more experience with the use of the medication. I have not seen or heard of anything come up as far as long-term risks being reported or in the literature at this point, but we are still fairly early with the medication, relatively new in the last year or two here. So A1C, important monitoring parameter, of course, if we're using it for diabetes, and then, of course, weight. You know, we like to target initially for weight management. That 5% weight loss is usually kind of a primary goal. If we can get more than that, great. But obviously, we're going to be monitoring weight if we're using this medication as a, you know, dual purpose with diabetes, or if we get that FDA-approved indication, if we see this med used more and more for weight management by itself. All right, let's take a quick break from our sponsor, and we'll wrap up with drug interactions. If you're in the market for any pharmacist board certification, definitely go check out meded101.com/store, S-T-O-R-E. In addition to board certification study materials, we've also got books on drug interactions, drug-food interactions, case studies, clinical pearls, lots of different resources that can be helpful for your practice, whether you're a nurse practitioner, a med student, nursing student. Lots of real-world clinical information in the books that we've put together on Amazon. So go check out all those resources, meded101.com/store. Wrapping up with drug interactions. So the first thing I always look at, think about with medications is CYP interactions. The drug tirzepatide does not have any CYP interactions. That is a really, really nice thing. So what do I think about? I think about blood sugar changes. So drugs like corticosteroids can raise blood sugars, kind of counteract any beneficial effects from tirzepatide. Thiazide diuretics, another example that potentially has been reported to do that. And then, of course, on the flip side, tirzepatide lowers blood sugars, so we've got to pay attention to hypoglycemia. And that risk tends to escalate quickly when we add on insulin and or insulin-stimulating drugs. So, of course, your short-acting insulins, rapid-acting insulins, long-acting insulins, those can all increase that risk potentially, and we've got to pay attention when we're adding a drug like tirzepatide onto a patient taking insulin. And then, of course, we've got some of the older medications like sulfonylurea, the older oral medications like sulfonylurea, so glipizide, for example. So again, pay attention to that hypoglycemia risk when we're adding, changing, increasing any other diabetes medications with tirzepatide. The GI slowing effect is something I definitely look out for. It can be problematic and really worsen GI upset issues, and drugs that slow the gut down or can slow the gut down even further include some of those older anticholinergics. So, you know, first generation antihistamines like diphenhydramine, tricyclic antidepressants, and probably we've got a little bit more risk of that issue in our geriatric patient population. So keep in mind, pay attention to patients with diabetic gastroparesis. You know, are those symptoms going to be worsened by drugs in combination with tirzepatide? So that's definitely something I keep an eye out for. And then lastly, I wanted to mention DPP-4s and GLP-1 agonists. So, of course, we're not going to use tirzepatide with a GLP-1 agonist like semaglutide, liraglutide. We're also would like to avoid using it with DPP-4 inhibitors. Again, tirzepatide works kind of along the same pathway as a DPP-4 inhibitor. I consider it kind of analogous to using an ACE and an ARB together. It's just not a good idea, not something that's recommended either. So definitely avoid use of a drug like sitagliptin, the brand name Januvia, in combination with tirzepatide. All right, well, I think that's going to wrap up the podcast for today. Hopefully you picked up a few practice pearls. Go sign up for that free Top 200 Study Guide, reallifepharmacology.com. Thank you to pearls.com/RLP for the free giveaway on the diabetes ADA diabetes guidelines in 2023. So go take advantage of that. Support the sponsor. We appreciate Derek, who I've known for a long time, putting that together for any free account that is created over there. If you enjoyed this podcast, found it helpful, please leave a rating, review wherever you're listening. If you want to email me, got suggestions, comments, looking for questions about resources and other opportunities to learn and educate yourself, reach me at mededucation101@gmail.com. You can also track me down on LinkedIn if you'd like to connect with me there. With that, I'm going to sign off for today, and I thank you guys so much for listening.